Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I want to do something. Many of you know what's going on over in Israel right now. They've been attacked by Palestinian terrorists, we have a missionary that we support on a monthly basis. Her name is Orna Grinman, and I hope that the next time she comes to the U.S., she'll be able to give us some of her time and come here and share with us regarding the work that they do over in Israel. She's a woman of God. She loves him deeply, and I want to pray for her and for all of Israel today, and I'm going to ask that you would join with me. And at the end of service today, there's a box that's in the back on the Welcome Center. It has her name and this card in front of it. If you would like to give to Orna and the work that they are doing there in Israel, you can give it's totally free will offering. We're not asking you for anything, but we want to make it available. If you want to give online, just select offering. When you give online, everything that is titled offering online today or comes in that box is going to go to Orna Grinman and the work that they're doing. And I want to read to you an update that we've received from Orna. As I said, they're there in Israel, and she says this: "Many of you ask how I'm doing. Well, yesterday I couldn't do anything other than watch the drama unfold. There are many mind-blowing questions that need to be answered, like how come the most sophisticated technology that detects a balloon flying over the border does not detect dozens of terrorists destroying the fence, stealing machines, driving more than 25 kilometers, taking over 100 hostages, and marching back with him at least 7 kilometers back into Gaza. We have soldiers sitting along the border and watching every centimeter around the clock. How can this happen? But this morning, I choose to work on my level of faith. I'm checking my heart and asking God to restore, refresh, and grant me what I lack. I'm struggling to lift up my eyes above the circumstances and see his might and his hands above the details. And I'm preparing myself a quiver of verses that I can declare until I see them become a reality. So that's where I am right now. None of my family and relatives suffered casualties, but we do know people whose families were murdered or wounded. Many messianic kids and dads were drafted back into the reserve service as we are in war. It's not just a short army operation that can end tomorrow. So our kids are with them. I'm sorry, our hearts are with them and with the children who watched horror yesterday as they saw their dads or big brothers putting on uniforms and leaving quickly. This is a time of great trouble for Jacob or Israel. So I'm asking God to save many through it, that many eyes will turn to him and realize we do have someone to rely on, and that he does know how to lead an army in battle, and that his eyes are always open, and he knows what he is doing." And then her sister also sent and said, here's what Orna sent out to a group of intercessors. She said, 9.5 hours since this was yesterday, 9.5 hours since it all started. Horrifying questions, not many answers. More than 40 dead and more than 740 wounded, and dozens were taken hostage. As of now, Hamas terrorists are still controlling some of kibbutzim and settlements, killing, taking more hostages, robbing and destroying Israel. As of now, is under a civil emergency situation. The Israeli Air Force is now attacking Gaza, but as for the Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip, people are still hiding in their homes, begging the army to come and rescue them. Listen to this. A baby was found in the street crying with no adults with her, just left. She said, "This is so odd. There's so much chaos and so much fear. This is different than anything else we've experienced. Multiple terrorist groups infiltrated Israel simultaneously, took over entire settlements, killing many and taking more hostages." So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel. We need to pray for our friend Orna Grinman. We need to pray for families. But you know what we need to pray more than anything? That they would know the Messiah. That these people that are God's chosen people, that a veil has been over their eyes. Even the worst things. God has used throughout history, he's used the worst things to bring his people back to himself. At one point, he sent his people into 70 years of captivity in Babylon just so they would come back to him. What could happen through this could be the greatest revival that Israel's ever had. I'm not saying we should be grateful for the war. I'm not saying we should pray for the war to continue. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we should pray that people's hearts would be turned to the Messiah that we've been grafted into. I want to read two passages of Scripture, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah chapter 40. This morning I woke up, and I declared this passage of Scripture over the people in Israel. And then Pastor Frankie, who's one of our overseers on our board of directors, many of you know him, he's been here before, he sent me Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. And so God is confirming his word today to us. Here's what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 8. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. This is what we're declaring, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every hill shall be brought low. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Join with me in prayer. Father, I ask that there would once again, like John the Baptist, be a voice crying out in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of our God. And John did not come just preaching the old covenant, but he said, there's one coming after me. He preached the Messiah. He said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, there's one coming who is mightier than I, that I can't even untie his sandals, and he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Lord, I pray for voices to cry out in the wilderness in Israel, that people would know you and that they would experience you. And I declare comfort to your people today. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God, that her warfare is ended. God, let the warfare and the strife and the enmity be ended. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace for the walls of the city of Zion to be protected and to be upheld. And we pray for the people of God that we've been grafted into. We pray salvation, God. We pray that they would know Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Anointed One, the Messiah, the only true God, and that eyes would be opened and that protection. Lord, we pray for supernatural protection. God, I pray that you would block the weapons of the enemy. No weapon formed against Israel shall prosper, but it shall be condemned that arises against Israel. And we proclaim peace in Jesus' name. Now I want to read Psalm chapter 102, verses 12, starting in verse 12. I read this morning in my Bible reading, and I felt the Lord lead me to declare it over Israel today. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. I want to read that verse again. For you, God, will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show her favor to her dust. So the nation shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. God, we pray, the set time has come for you to favor Zion, the city of our God, Jerusalem, the the place that when you return to earth, your feet are going to land. The first place that the feet of Jesus is going to land upon his return will be upon the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And Lord, I pray right now that you would set favor upon Israel and that you would drive back the enemy, drive back the darkness, and let God's people be saved. In Jesus' name, can you say amen today? Don't let it just be a Sunday morning thing. Continue to pray for Israel. Continue to pray for Orna. If you would like one of these cards that just maybe it can help you as a reminder to pray for her, stick it in your Bible. Stick it on your mirror. Stick it on your car. Maybe when you get in your car, you remember, I'm going to pray for Orna Grinman and the work that they're doing over in Israel as we continue to pray for them and believe for this war to cease and to end and for God to move mightily for his people. Listen, let me remind you, God still loves Israel. We get so locked in on God loves America. God loves America. Yes, he does. But let me remind you, Israel are still his chosen people. And we're to pray for their salvation. Where, in fact, we're to pray that they would become so jealous of us that they would want to know the Messiah. It's our job to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And I know that may seem like, well, how am I going to do that when I'm over here? We do that through prayer. We do it through just pursuing after God. And anytime you come into contact with someone that is a Jew, you tell them, I found the Messiah that you guys are still looking for. I know him. His name's Jesus the Christ. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth, and he grew up, and he was killed right outside of Jerusalem, and he rose again for you and for me. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm chapter 46. Stand to your feet. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 46. We're going to get into the Word of God today. It's already 11:04. Don't worry. I'll let you go by 1:04. It'll be all right. Psalm 46. I want to read to you verses 10 and 11. And then we're going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you don't have your Bible, it should be available on the screen for you to follow along with. God's word reads as such in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He will be exalted. Verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I want to read verses 28 through 30. Another very familiar passage of Scripture, but I believe that God's going to tie these things into us today and help us to receive them in our hearts so that we can walk them out. Jesus, he called out and he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray one more time today. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word that is perfect, your word that is holy, your word that is good in every single season, in every single situation. There's never a moment that the word of God is not applicable. It's not beneficial. It's not profitable for our lives. And as we look to the word today, I pray that you would instruct our hearts, God, that we would learn better how to know you and how to seek you and how to come to you and yoke up with you so that we can live life the way that you prescribe for us to live it. So we surrender our hearts and our minds to you. I pray that you would empty me of myself and anoint me to speak the word of God in clarity and with authority today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much for being here today. We never take it for granted when you choose to come and worship at the Well. And you are, I want you to know, if you're here today, you're a part of this family. We accept you in the Beloved. We love you. We are so excited that we get to see you each and every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And I just can't wait to see what God continues to do in this family and in this midst. But we just say welcome home this morning. It's so good to have each and every one of you. Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want to reemphasize this. We've already read this text, but I want you to hear it once again. He says, come to me. All of you who are heavy, who are heavy with burdens and you're weary and you're worn out and you're tired. I don't know about you, but there's times in life when I get tired. I just get wore out. We had a great time at Revision Conference. For those of you that were able to be with us Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday night, or any of the times, it was incredible. But I'll tell you what, my spirit is rejuvenated, my spirit is renewed, my spirit is refreshed, but I'd be lying to you if I told you my body wasn't a little bit tired. Because services went late into the night, and then Bishop would wake up wanting to eat in the middle of the night because he's only 2 months old, and I guess that's what you do when you're 2 months old. And so, I'm a little tired in my body. And so when Jesus says, come to me, you are weary and heavy laden, he can be talking about physical fatigue, but I think he's talking about spiritual fatigue. And what happens is when we go through life without Jesus and we're doing things in our own strength, very quickly we wear down. And we get tired and we get burdened by the things of life. I want to remind you where we ended last week. It says in the book of 1 John, his commandments, they're not burdensome. What does that mean? That means they're easy and they're light. And that's why Jesus said, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. My burden, it's light. Anytime the burdens or the commandments of God become burdensome to us. And that's where a lot of people live in Christianity is, well, you said, God said we should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we should love our neighbor. It's hard to love people. It's difficult to love people. People don't make it easy to love people, and it becomes burdensome to us. It's because we're not doing it with him. We're doing it in our own strength. I'm trying to love people from my limited supply of love instead of tapping into the agape, unconditional love of God and letting him love through me. Instead of doing it with Jesus and letting him lead me and teach me and help me. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, come to me, and he said, learn from me. You don't have to show me that you already know how to do it. You don't have to show me how good you are at loving people, how great you are at keeping my commandments. He said, don't worry. If you don't know how to do it, you just come and I'll teach you how to do it. I'll show you. I'll welcome you into the family. But I'm afraid that in the body of Christ today, in 2023, we have built an entire empire that is built upon being dependent on ourselves. Yeah. That's why I love what we were singing today. I depend on you. Yeah. I depend on you. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. Nobody can come to the Father except by Jesus. It's not what I do or who I am. And we've built this entire philosophy on being dependent on ourselves, being sustained by our efforts instead of living in the kingdom of God. Do you know what the kingdom of God requires? It requires that we be emptied of ourselves so that we can be filled with him. If you aren't empty of yourself, then you cannot truly be filled with God. And you wonder, why am I not filled with the fullness of the Spirit? Why am I not filled with the love of God? Why is it difficult to love people? Why is it difficult to do this and to do that and be who God called me and created me to be? If he really created me to be it, wouldn't it be easier? Yes, if you would empty yourself of you. And you would say, I need to be filled with you. Because without learning from him, without leaning into Jesus and saying, teach me, show me, I want to yoke up with you. It's like the reason Jesus used that is you see, we don't work with livestock. Well, some people do, like Caleb back there, but not everybody in here has worked with livestock. I haven't worked with livestock very much, but I do know that in the old days, back in ancient Israel, if you didn't have livestock, you probably weren't going to eat. Right? Like it was much more common just 100 years ago in America for people, just 70 years ago in America for people to have livestock. And the way that they would train a young ox is they would yoke it up with an old ox because the old ox knew the way. They knew how to plow. They knew how to work. They knew how to do what was needed and what their master was calling them to do. And so instead of just taking some new ox and just throwing it in there and expecting him to do it, they would put him with a seasoned ox. And as he worked with the seasoned ox, he was yoked up with him and he realized the best way to do it. And that's what Jesus is offering us. He's saying, come yoke up with me. I'll teach you how to do it. I know life's hard. I know it weighs you down sometimes. I know that sometimes it feels like you don't know if you're going to be able to make it. So come to me. You're weary. You're heavy laden with a lot of burdens. Take my yoke upon you because it's easy. It's light. It's not burdensome, but it's easy. But we've spiritualized human efforts. You know how we've done that? What do I mean when I say we've spiritualized human efforts? What I mean is we've developed this mentality of I can do it without him. And we've spiritualized it by saying I'm struggling for God. I'm striving for God. I'm doing it for him. We think that God's going to look down and go, wow, look at them. Struggling in their own strength. Doing it in their own way. They must love me so much. If we loved him, we'd come to him. If we loved him, we would say, I don't want to do anything apart from you. Because I realize I can't be full of you until I'm empty of me. And so I'm going to empty myself. What if you truly let Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, teach you through life so that you didn't have to struggle so hard to do what was right? You see, that's the struggle. We all get saved and then we still struggle to do what's right. You know why we struggle to do what's right? Because we're trying to do what's right. We, flawed, imperfect, sinful by nature, humans. And God says, come to me. I'll save you. I'll sanctify you. I'll consecrate you. And we say, thank you, Lord, but I think I'll do it myself. I'll accept Jesus went to the cross to save me from my sins, but I'm still going to try to live right without you. It doesn't work that way. And that's why it becomes burdensome. I'm tired of seeing Christians walk around like this. Just burdened. Everything's difficult. Everything's hard. Everything's awful. I'm not telling you that if you walk with Jesus, nothing will go wrong. I'm telling you that when it goes wrong, you don't do this. Yeah. You don't get burdened because you go, you know what? His yoke is easy. His burden's light. He's God. He's got this. He's stronger than I am. He's smarter than I am. He's more powerful than I am. And so I don't have to bear all this weight on my own. I can lean into him and let him teach me how to make it through life. Good. Jesus wasn't promising easy. He wasn't saying nothing difficult will ever happen. He's saying, in fact, Jesus said this himself, in his own words, in this world, you will have tribulation. Yeah. Now, we can look at that two ways. Number one, while we're here, we're going to have tribulation. Number two, it's a promise. When you get to the next world, there won't be any tribulation. There won't be any trouble. There won't be any pain. There won't be any loss. There won't be insecurity. There won't be fear. Am I the only one that deals with some of these things? Sometimes you guys are acting like, well, I don't deal with that. I don't have anything wrong going on right now. This is a good promise to realize the suffering that we have to endure here, we won't have to face it one day. He said, you'll have tribulation, but in the midst of tribulation, you can have a good attitude. You can keep your head held high. In fact, some translations say, take heart. Be excited. Why? He's already overcome the world. It means that in the trial, in the tribulation, we get to yoke up with him and realize I don't have to bear it on my own. I can cast my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. We don't have to do it on our own. That means this. We don't have to wrestle in our own strength. His strength is not made perfect in your efforts. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the reason that some of us never actually know the strength that God will give is because we're trying to perfect his strength in our efforts. Don't be afraid. We sing a song, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. We sing that, oh, that's so good, because we admire that in other people. But it really is uncomfortable to open yourself up and say, I'm weak. I'm struggling. Is my mic bothering everybody? Okay. All right. I don't want you. I'll just switch to this right here. There we go. Can you turn it up just a little bit, Brandon? I don't want to have to hold it up in my mouth the whole time. Thank you. His strength is not made perfect by you trying harder, by you doing better. His strength is perfected when you say, I'm weak, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden, and I don't want to do it that way anymore. Yeah. I'm going to come to you because I realize in you is strength. In you is wisdom. In you is every single thing that I need. And so he will meet you in your weakness and perfect his power, enabling you to live and believe in such a way to realize his commandments aren't burdensome.
I thought they were. All this time, I thought the commandment, I am going to shoulder the weight for Jesus. He said, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. He did not say, you're going to live a life of struggle every single day. He said, come to me if you're weary and you're heavy laden. I'll show you how to walk it out where it actually becomes light. This is not taking suffering away. It's enabling us to not quit in the suffering. It's enabling us that when the suffering comes, it doesn't mean the suffering's going to go away. It means that I'm not going to turn to a vice. I'm not going to turn to weakness. I'm not going to turn to sin. I'm not going to give in to temptation. But I know that even if I will embrace the struggle and I will yoke up with him, the glory that is to be revealed is greater than the current suffering that I am facing right now in my life. Now, how does this tie into what we're talking about today? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. What does that mean? Some translations, like the New American Standard Bible, which some scholars say is the most accurate word-for-word translation of the Bible, says it this way. Stop striving and know that I am God. Now, I want to point this out. This is not man talking about God. This is God talking to man. Because we quote this a lot of times when we go, be still and know that he is God. But this is God talking, saying, be still. He's speaking to us. Stop striving so that you can know that I'm God. Because when we're striving, we're God. Yeah. Not really God, but in our mind, we're God. Yeah. In our heart, we're God. Because we're elevating our efforts and our trials above who he is. So he says, stop striving. It means relax. I love that. Listen to what God says to you today. Relax. And know, I'm God. What do you mean relax? I need to push through. I need to be stronger. I need to shoulder the weight. No, you need to relax. Because until you relax, you can't know him as God because you're too busy trying to be God on your own. Relax. Chill out. Realize. He's got, it means cease, stop, just stop for a moment. It means forsake. Forsake what? Forsake yourself. So that you can know him as God. It also means this, be weak. That's why I say to you, his strength is not perfected in your strength. Your strength plus his strength, does, you know, there's other people that, let's say if we were going to try to lift something, and it was too heavy for one person, but two people could pick it up. Right? One person doesn't have enough strength, but two people together that can pick it up. He doesn't need you to help him pick anything up. He doesn't need your strength plus his strength to get a perfect result. You know what he needs? You to just say, I am weak and I'm weary and I'm heavy laden, but I'm going to come to you. I'm going to stop. I'm going to just be weak. So stop trying to make it in your own strength. Relax. He's God. The question is this, do you trust him as God? Do you really trust him that he will teach you and he will provide for you and he will help you? Because if you do, then you'll understand. If you really trust God, you'll relax. You'll just go, okay, I'm going to be still and know he's God. You don't have to shoulder it all. You don't have to soldier on. Forsake your striving and let him be God. When I talk about striving, I know that Paul references striving in the New Testament. I'm not saying that there's not a moment of striving. What I mean is doing things in your own strength. When I say striving, I can already feel people like, Paul talked about striving. Yeah, but Paul did not say you can do it, you can strive in your own strength and impress God. I'm talking about trying to do things apart from God. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't make it. You have to stay connected to the true vine. It's okay to be weak. You know why it's okay to be weak? Because he isn't. That's why that's where it comes out. I'm going to trust you because I can't do it, but I know that you can. And when you don't admit or embrace your weakness, guess what? You'll stay weak. But when you admit you're weak, you can embrace his strength and not deal with weakness anymore. His strength's made perfect in your weakness. So why would he need us to show him how strong we are? Be still, pause, so that you can know that he is God. What does that word know mean? It means acknowledge, answer, or be aware. Last week we looked at 1 John where he says, by this we know that we know him. He said, be still and know that I am God. God's plan is that we would know him. He created us for fellowship. I want to remind you, this is him saying, be still and know that I'm God. Not be still and know that this isn't a man talking to a man. This is God talking to man. He's inviting us to know him. You see, it means, as I said, it means answer or be aware. That we'd be fully aware of him in every single aspect of our life is what he's saying. Stop. Relax. So that you can be aware of me in every single moment. Because sometimes we get so busy, like Martha, and distracted by much serving that we forget Jesus is sitting in the living room. Be still so that you can know him. That's what he really wants. You know, it also says to answer. My fear for a lot of Christians is that they're Christian in name only and they don't really know God. The goal of being a Christian is not to be a better person. It's to be Christ-like. The goal of being a Christian is not to go to church. It's to know God. That's why he created you. It's why he sent Jesus. Not so you could have a sticker on the back of your car. Not so you could be a member at a church. Not so that you could, you know, just be a better person. He saved you so you could know him. But the problem is many Christians don't know him. How do I know that? Because if you asked them to introduce you to him, they couldn't. If you asked most Christians about knowing God, how do I get to know God? They would say, well, let me introduce you to my pastor. Yeah. Or they would say, oh, I didn't go to Bible school. I don't really know how to. If you know someone, it's not difficult to introduce. If you ask me, can you introduce me to Deion Sanders? I'd be like, no, because I don't know Deion. The other day, I was watching YouTube shorts on my phone. Yes, I do that as a pastor. And my daughter was watching over my shoulder. And I didn't know this, that she was doing this, because I was sitting in the car while Madison was in TJ Maxx. I'm just going to leave that right there. Just going to leave that right there. Be still. Know that he is God. I wish Madison would be still and stop going to TJ Maxx. I'm watching and I see an interview with Deion Sanders. I'm sitting there watching it. And from over my shoulder, Zoe, who's four, goes, Deion! She knew who Deion Sanders was because she's got older brothers that love college football. Anyways, if you ask me, can you introduce me to Coach Prime? I would say no because I don't know him. But if you said, hey, could you introduce me to Lauren later? I'd say absolutely. Come right over here. I can tell you who he is, where he lives, where he's from, because I know him. Many people cannot introduce somebody else to God because they don't. If you cannot introduce someone to God, you don't actually know him. Now, I could tell you, I can introduce you to Deion, but if I walk up, it's going to be obvious Deion don't know Spencer. Yeah, come on, let's go over. Hey, Coach Prime. Coach Prime is going to be like, who's this cat, right? Like, who is this guy? He's not going to know me. But I can introduce you to God. Why? Because I know God. And he knows you. And he identifies, this is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. So if you want to know, do I really know God? The question is this. Could I introduce someone else to him? Not could I tell you things about God. Because I can tell you things about Deion Sanders, like the fact that he played for the Falcons and the 49ers and the Cowboys, and he played baseball for the Braves, and he coached Jackson State, and he coaches Colorado. But telling you about someone and introducing you to someone are two completely different things. You know, when it comes down to children, or when it comes down to this, I think about children because I've got children. I was a child once, and I've seen this before, where you might ask a child a question, and you would say, what is 3 times 5? And they would say, I'm not telling. What's I'm not telling code for? I don't know. But I'm not going to let you know that I don't know, so I'm going to say, I'm not telling. Right? And a lot of times when it comes to us as believers, people that say we believe in God, claim we believe in God, we don't tell people about him. You know why? We don't really know him. Because if you know him, you'd know how good he is. You know how loving he is. You know how the only way anybody is going to survive this life and eternity is with him. And so we tell people about him. I know it might cause our knees to shake and to rattle against one another. I know that it might literally be just a whisper that we can get out of our mouth. But if we really know God, we want other people to know God. And he wants us to know him as God. Now, you may say, I want to know God, Pastor. I really do. But I don't know how to know God. Yes, you do. You do know how to know God. Because if you wanted to know who won football games yesterday, you could just ask my sons. They'll tell you every single score. No. But you could. You could ask someone that knows. You know what else you could do? Pull out your phone, go to ESPN.com, look it up. We have a word that's full of who God is. And we say, I don't know how to know him. Starting point right here. Open it up. You know, now we are so just flooded with information. There's no excuse to not know something now. Because you may not know how to install a hot water heater. All you have to do is look it up on YouTube. And now you know how to install a hot water heater. I'm not saying it's the right way, but it's a way, right? The other day, my window regulator went out in the back passenger side of my truck. I called Brandon. He said, yeah, that's what it is. He sent me the part. I ordered it. And I went to put it in. I looked it up on YouTube. And within 20 minutes, I had that joker in. And it works just fine. I previously didn't know how to do that. All I had to do was look it up. The problem is not that you don't know how to know God. You know what the problem is? You don't really want to know him. Because if you wanted to know him, you'd seek it out. You'd open up the word and read about him. You'd try to talk to him. Or you'd go to someone that knows him and you would say, will you show me how to know God? Will you teach me more? It's amazing that we will put so much more emphasis on learning natural things that one day won't matter. I'm not saying they don't matter now, because they do. Your job matters now. You need to provide for your family. But what I'm saying is, don't spend so much time planning for now that you forget to know God, who you're going to spend eternity with or eternity separated from. Right. Learn to know him. So it's not that you don't know how to know him. The problem is simply you don't have enough desire to know him. There are things you would rather know about. There are things that you would rather do. I'm not trying to be mean to you. If you want to know something, you would take a class. Yeah. Or you'd download an app. Or if you're real old school, you'd go get a library book about it. Right? But if you want to know, you'd find a way to do it. Right? If you want to know God, all you have to do, listen, he's not a code that you have to crack. I want to know God, but I can't. I don't know where to start. Where did you start with anything? You just started. And so just start. Just ask him. He says, I want you to know me. That's why this is so important to realize. This is not man speaking to man about God. This is God speaking to man about God. He said, be still so that you can know me as God. That's what he wants for us. Now let's talk about that word God, because it's the name Elohim. The names of God are so powerful, so important. And this is the name Elohim. In fact, it's the first name that we get for God in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So he's the creator. You look around at everything outside that's been created. You look at the mountains. You look at the rivers. You look at the beach. You look at you know, just all the beautiful creation. You realize that the person that made that wants me to know him. Like, he's giving an invitation. It's amazing that we elevate people so much. We would, you know, think of someone that you admire, someone that you look up to. Maybe there's a sports figure. Maybe there's a business person. Maybe there's someone that was in the military. Maybe there's somebody that is a musician, or I don't know, whatever it may be. Someone that you're like, They're awesome. They're really good at what they do. Imagine if a note showed up at your house and they said, I want you to come to my house and I want you to meet me. We would just be on the floor, right? Oh my goodness, I can't believe so-and-so wants to meet me. The creator of the universe wants you not just to meet him, to know him, to know him intimately. He's saying, be still. Stop trying so hard. Because listen, if you want to know God, you can't skip the be still part. We want to skip the be still and just get right to the point, I want to know God. Because we're used to putting stuff in the microwave and it being hot in 30 seconds. But he said, if you want to know me, you've got to be still. That word Elohim, the name, means supreme, very great, exceeding, mighty one. Be still. Be weak so that you can know the supreme one. Because unless you come to him in weakness, as long as you are bowing up and you're putting out your chest and you're showing him how, no, that's not the way you come to God. He's God. We're not. So we have to be weak, lessen ourselves so that we can know him as God. He wants us to constantly be aware that he's supreme over everything. He reigns. Why does he want us to know that? Because he has an ego complex, like a complex? No, he wants us to know that so that we will believe that. So that we can see his power in action. So that we can see him be supreme over our health. We can see him rule in our finances. We can see him reign over our troubles and over our sorrow. But we won't get that if we don't be still. Until we stop doing life in our human efforts, we can never truly be aware of how great he really is. Because you know what I've realized? Humanity blinds us to divinity. What I mean by that is, as long as we are operating in our own strength, we can't truly see how strong he really is. We're blinded to it because all we can see is me. As long as you look in the mirror, you can't see the future. All you see is a reflection of who you are. And we're sitting here as believers, self-centered, focused on me, I, what I'm doing, where I'm going, who I am, all this stuff. And all we're looking at is ourselves, and it blocks us from being able to see him. So come to him when you're weary, when you're heavy laden. You know what he's doing? He's waiting with arms wide open. Say, he already said, come to me. And you know what I love about God? He doesn't say, come to me. And when you don't come, he goes, all right, never mind. You don't want to come? Fine, don't come. The God that said, come to me, is still waiting on you to come. Yeah. You may think you know God. Guess what? You can know him even. Maybe you do know God. Here's the cool thing about God. You can't ever fool. I love what Pastor Jay said the other night. He said he heard someone was called a master in theology. Theology is the study of God. How do you master studying God? You can't come to the end of him. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has no limits. So we can, you may sit there and go, I already know God. Not as good as you could. I don't know God as good as I want to or as good as I can, but I want to know him better. I am a firm believer. You know as much about God as you want to. You know how I know that? You know as much about football as you want to. You know as much about cooking as you want to. You know as much about gardening as you want to. You know why? Because you gave yourself to learning about those things. You know as much about how a car works as you want to. Because if you didn't, when you went home this afternoon, you'd learn more about it. It's the same way with God. The problem is not that you can't, it's that you don't want to. So pray and ask him, God, would you help me to hunger for you? Would you help me to want to know you more? Now, let's go back to talking about be still. Relax. And I've learned that we're very good at being lazy, but we're not very good at resting. There's a difference. Resting and laziness are not the same thing, because laziness is condemned in the Word of God. Resting is encouraged. So they're two different things. And we think that being lazy means we're resting. But that's not the truth. We've got to realize that resting requires leaning into him. Laziness just requires not doing anything. Resting requires waiting on the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. leaning into him, letting him lead. But you know what I've learned? There's something so attractive about doing it yourself. In fact, that's the craze nowadays, DIY. Do it yourself, right? You don't have to hire a contractor. You build that thing. Some people can do that. Others should not, right? But there's people that their whole living is they make videos on YouTube telling other people how to ruin their life, and they call it DIY, right? And there's people, I bet you I could get a petition of husbands to just remove those people from the planet entirely. Because their wife is looking and they see them on HGTV and they see them on DIY. There's a whole network called DIY Network. They see them on YouTube or Pinterest or goodness, Facebook. Look what they did. Would you just look right here what they did to their garden? Would you look at this flower bed that they've constructed? And the husband's like, yeah, I'll look at it. Well, I think we should do it. We can't do that. You mean you, right? It's like I saw a guy the other day. He said he just moved into a new house, and he liked the color of the front door. His wife did not. So she said, well, we need to paint it. He said, nope, you need to paint it because I like it the color that it is. And sometimes we have bought into a spiritual sense of DIY. I'm going to do it myself. That's why Paul wrote to the Galatians. He said, you began in the spirit. Do you really think that what begun in the spirit you can perfect in the flesh? Do you really think that? Is that really the way we're going to go about this? That God started something that you couldn't do, you understood that, but now you think that now that you've gotten a taste of what God can do for you, oh, I see. You see, that's what some people do. I met a guy, and he wanted to build his own house. So what he did is he went and he worked for an electrician for like a month, and then he left and he went and he worked for a plumber for a month, and he just gained enough information from each of them to do what he wanted to do. And sometimes that's what we try to do to God. Just get me enough to let me know how I can do it, and then I'll go do it on my own because I really don't want you telling me what to do. I really don't want you in control of my life. I just want to know how to be better. That's not Christianity. You know what that is? That's called religion. That's called saying, I want what you can give me, but I don't want what you ask me to give you. I just want to do what I want to do. Remember what Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You'll despise one and cherish the other. You can either serve you or you can serve him. So my encouragement to you today is this, be still so that you can know he's God. Let him lead. Don't say he's God and then not let him be God in your life. That's honestly, if I can just get gut level honest with you, that's stupid. Say, oh, he's God, and then not let him be God. But that's where most of us live. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive. But it's not me living, it's Christ living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But then the next verse is vitally important. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God. Because if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. What's he saying? He's saying very simply, I cannot be full of him and be full of me. I have to die to myself so that I can truly live in him. But I understand that once he's living in me, it's not me, it's the grace of God. It's his unmerited favor on my life that has enabled me. And if that's what got me here, then that's what's going to sustain me. If that's what got me out of sin, then that's what's going to get me into sanctification. If that's what got me into sanctification, then that's how I'm going to get to heaven. I cannot set aside his grace once I get it. That's what a lot of people, they want to get saved, and then they want to go, oh, I got grace like a trophy. I'm going to set it on the mantle, and that's how I got saved, right there, by grace. In fact, that's where 90% of people in Alabama live. I got saved by grace, brother. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's my salvation sitting on the mantle. Well, God didn't save you so that it could become a trophy in your life. He saved you so you could know him and you could walk with him and you could teach other people to do the same. So my encouragement today, be still. Know that he's God. You can't be God and let him be God. It's one or the other. Stand to your feet with me this morning. I'm going to ask that you would just bow your head, close your eyes. I don't want anyone looking around right now. Because what I'm about to ask you to do, it's not that it's embarrassing, but you know what it is? It's between you and God. Because sometimes it's important to make a public profession, but sometimes we make a pet profession in public just so other people will see us. So the reason I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, no one looking around, is what you're about to do is between you and God. It's not for man. It's not from man. It's from God, and it's for God. And so if you say, I want God to help me to relax and know him as God, I'm making a fresh commitment to him today, saying, God, you have already opened the door. You've already sent the invitation. I'm responding to the message today, and I'm saying, I want to know you. Would you just lift your hand? I'm not even looking around because I've got my hand up. I'm saying, God, I want to know you. So, Lord, I pray for your people today. There is no mediator between man except Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who loved us. He gave himself for us. And so right now, by Jesus, the highest name on earth, the most important person to ever live, the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity, by Jesus, I thank you that we can know you. Because through him, we get to the Father. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk with you and to know you, not just know about you, but to know you. Not just to be content with being around the things of God, but to really get intimate with you and to walk with you and to know you and to accept your invitation. And that through this, we would lead other people to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for claiming that you're God, but not living like you're God. We submit to you as the master of our souls today. Can you put some music on, please, Brandon, if you don't mind? Because I feel like God really wants to do some things in some people's life today. I want you to know the altar's open. I know we made an altar call earlier and you came and you threw your burdens down. That's good. But if you want to come and you just need to spend some time with God, you need to be still. You need to, maybe you've been striving and you've been trying to do it in your own strength and you've been doing everything that seems right, but you've been a Pharisee. It's been all about what you do and how you do it. And you're saying, God, right now in this moment, I'm admitting I'm weak and I need you. I want to know you as God. I want to stop striving. I want to just pause. I want to relax. Maybe you just need to come and bow at the altar today and just say, God, I'm here. I'm at your feet. I want to know you better. Come on, we're talking about hunger. Hunger is the thing that will get you out of your seat and respond and say, God, I'm coming. I want to know you. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Because all that matters is knowing you. You're not going to stand before this church one day when judgment happens. You're going to stand before God. And he's either going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, enter into my rest. God, we don't want to say it to be said of us that we don't know you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would respond to the hunger of your people today. Do you guys have a grandmother like me that every time you go to her house, she's like, you need something to eat? No, Mimi, I just ate. I don't need anything to eat. No. We're going to get you something to eat. She'll start making you something to eat. God is a God that he will feed you and feed you and feed you and fill you because he doesn't want you lacking. He doesn't want you empty. Just like that grandmother that she's like, they need some food. We need to feed them. We need to get some food to them. God will fill your heart up. He's not up there with a carrot dangling it before you. He's there with a feast laid out saying, you need something? Come and eat. Come. You don't have any money? Come buy some food anyways. I'll give you what you need. I will sustain your soul. So, Father, help us to know you. Help us to hunger for you in a deeper way. And I thank you that in that hunger, you will always respond. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that knowing you is not a farce. It's not a trick. It's not something that is promised from the pulpit. but it's something that is declared in your word that we can know you. In fact, Paul said, I count everything else as loss that I may know him. God, I pray that you would help us to lay things down. In fact, I feel there's some people here today, there's something that's in your life that has hindered you from knowing God. And today the Spirit of God is pulling upon the strings of your heart and is leading you. You can see that thing. You know what it is. And if you don't get it out of your heart, I'm not saying you'll never go know God, but I'll tell you this, in this season, it will block you from knowing God the way that you want to know him. You need to get rid of it. You need to throw it away. Count it as loss. It may at one time have been a good thing, but listen to me. What's good in one season can kill you in another season. What's good in one season can be a hindrance in another season. That can work medically. It can work in your job. But I'm telling you, in the spirit realm too, it may have been good in one season. That relationship might have been good for that season, but now you stepped into a new season. You may not need it anymore. So lay it down. Let it go. It's hindering you from being who God called you to be. It's hindering you from knowing him the way that he called you and created you to know him. Nothing, nothing on this earth is worth separation from God. So Lord, I pray for the grace. We don't set aside the grace of God, but we receive the grace of God. We embrace it. And I pray for the grace to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. Pray for the power to live righteously and soberly even in this present age. And God, I pray that every heart that longs for you, I thank you that you're going to respond. You're going to pour your spirit out. And you're going to respond in grace. And we're going to get to know you better. We love you today. Forgive us for trying to do it on our own. We know it doesn't work that way. We still need a reminder. We can come to you. We're weary. We're heavy laden. We're weak. We need your strength, and I thank you that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and just receive this simple blessing today? I want to declare over you from the word of God, may the Lord our God bless you, keep you. That means that you wouldn't stray, but you would stay close. He's going to keep you in his peace. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, meaning may he give you favor that you don't even deserve. May he smile upon you. May he keep you in the paths of truth. May as you know him, that you would come to lead others to him as well. In fact, I just pray that right now. God, let us be soul winners. Your word says he who wins souls is wise, so give us wisdom to know who to talk to, what to say. Speak through us, Holy Spirit. There's a world out there that's dying without you. And how hateful do we have to be to not share the love of Christ? So help us to share it. God, even if they think we're crazy, better for them to think that we're crazy than for us to live a life that is selfish regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. So strengthen our hearts, I ask. And may God bless your endeavors. May he bless your words. May he bless your finances. May he bless your relationships. And may you be totally dependent upon him in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with God. We bless you. We love you so much. Can't wait to see you right back here Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Why don't you take some time, just fellowship with people. Don't run out of here today. Take some time and say hello to somebody. Maybe go to lunch with somebody. We love you.